Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston, standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy, we're Jeremy and Joe. Joe, football is my favorite season, too.
Okay.
Do you not know what shirt you're wearing?
Oh, I am, yeah. I forgot.
Joe's shirt says football is my favorite season.
It is. The Cougs shirt. Go Cougs.
He didn't realize that.
I forgot.
Bye week for the Cougs. Leading the show with Houston Cougs. Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Lots to get to today. Hot stove is heating up in Major League Baseball. I have a crush. It's not a Monday, but I have a, what is the little acronym? Man Crush Monday or whatever? Is that what it is?
Yep.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah. I have a Man Crush Monday, who I want the Astros to trade for.
Okay.
We'll get to that a little bit later. We don't ignore in victory what we win in defeat. We're not like these other jabronis that like, hey, Texans win, nothing's wrong, and then they lose and everything is wrong. No, we're consistent. Joe and I are... Well, we might not be the consistent, but we're more consistent than others.
Mm-hmm.
We might not be consistent, but I pride ourselves on being more consistent than others. When the Texans win, there's still things that we have to discuss. Now, we wait till Tuesday. We're fair about it. I mean, don't ignore in victory we win in defeat. When they lose, we're honest about some of the good stuff. We're not like, oh, the culture is terrible. They lost. Oh, culture is great. They won. No, we don't do that. We're realists here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We'll cash. We'll trash. A certain man was fired in Dallas, and the city's throwing a parade today. And I feel like all of you are being fooled with the bigger play here that's in play. But a lot of people are celebrating the firing of Nico Harrison, which, look, he was already fired. He was fired the moment he traded Luka. It was just a matter of when. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a matter of if. It was a matter of when. And when was today, November 11th. Also, celebrating the veterans, thank you for your service. We appreciate you're my hero, and I mean that sincerely. Heroes to me are the people who fought for us and first responders. I don't idolize athletes like some. I don't do that. I idolize the military and the first responders. Of course, today, Veterans Day, thank you all for your service. We certainly appreciate it, and we can talk trivial and stupid stuff like sports because of you, so thank you. Packers-Eagles yesterday. Is this an NFC championship preview, Joe, what we saw last night at Lambeau?
No.
Why not? They have elite defenses.
Are we sure that the offenses just don't stink for both teams, Jeremy?
No, they have good offenses.
One of them has a good offense.
Look at all the players, Joe. They have Saquon Barkley. You have Jalen Hurts, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You have Devontae. You have A.J. Brown. You have Dallas Goedert. Look over at the other side of the football. Jordan Love got a lot of money.
Yeah.
Jordan Love got a lot of money.
He got a lot of money, Jeremy.
Josh Jacobs is a really good football player.
Christian Watson's back,
baby. Yeah. Matthew Golden, go Cougs. Didn't play yesterday. He'll be back soon. Go Cougs.
Hook him.
Texas is back, folks. There's a lot of offensive power, firepower on that football field, Joe.
They both stink, though. Last night's game was awful, Jeremy. Set football back a century.
Tip your cap to good defense. These aren't awful football teams.
It was good defense by both teams, yes, but the Packers' offense is not good. They are not a good football team. I do not think this is a preview of the NFC Championship game this year. Maybe one of these teams gets there, but I do not think it's the Packers.
You say they're a bad football team?
Offensively, they're not good. They've laid too many eggs this year to me think to make me think that they're a good football team against teams that are incompetent.
They're in the top half of the NFL in points scored and yards.
Great.
They're 15th in points scored. They're 12th in yards.
Jordan Love's not good.
That's fair.
He's not, and that's the problem. Like they can score, yes, but their wide receiver room, it's a bunch of guys who they've tried. I give them credit. They've tried. They've added a bunch of guys in the draft. None of them have really hit so far. Josh Jacobs has been a great sign. But Jordan Love can't elevate his teammates, and I don't think that's a surprise that people have watched him. He's not a great quarterback. He's an overpaid quarterback. He's not Trevor Lawrence, and to the point of like that contract's going to crush them, but I do not view the Green Bay Packers as a team that's going to make a run to the NFC title game this year. The Eagles, you can still sell me on them. They didn't have a great night. You know, I don't know why they're not trying to get the ball to A.J. Brown more often in their offense. The thing that concerns me with the Eagles is just their injuries. So we saw Lane Johnson leave the game last night. It doesn't seem to bother them. They seem to always have another guy, but I would be stunned if last night's game was an NFC Championship preview.
One of these days, I'm going to find somebody that likes Jordan Love. I don't know when that day is going to come, but one of these days I will. Like, Green Bay's also without their top three pass catchers, though. And look, they're not getting Kraft back, so like that's not one that you can be like, hey, you're getting him back, yay. But you are going to get Golden back. And I wonder if when Reed comes back too, because I think he's one of their best two receivers. So I think the Green Bay Packers that we saw yesterday look much different in a month or so. And look, the Eagles are good. Like, give the Eagles credit. They're a good defense. So, like, yeah, you're not always going to have a good offensive night against a good defense. I don't disagree with you about Jordan Love. I don't think this is an NFC Championship preview. I would be stunned like you if Green Bay makes the NFC Championship. But I would be stunned if Philly doesn't. So, for me, it's like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. If Philly doesn't make the NFC Championship game, I would be surprised, and it would be a disappointment of a season for a defending Super Bowl champion. If Green Bay makes it, it feels like a fantastic success.
Yeah, I mean, but when you look at the NFC right now, who's the other team that you're confident in? Is it the Rams?
The Rams are good. They got the MVP.
But you got Sam Darnold, and the Seahawks are playing really good football right now.
Also very good. Some would say the most underrated team in the NFL. Some great minds once said that.
And then there's the Detroit Lions, who are very good this year. It's not an easy road for the Eagles this year. That bye is going to be really important for the top team in the NFC, and if the Eagles don't get it, they're gonna struggle to get there. And we've seen this team go through, you know, that season, 2 years ago, where they were, 10-1 to start the season and then kind of fell apart. It was a weird year with their offense. They make an offensive coordinator change. They're really good the following year, and they win the Super Bowl. They just seem to not be clicking this year like how they were 2 years ago. It doesn't mean that they can't get there, but they don't, to me, look like the best team in the NFC right now. So while I'm with you, I would, you know, it's a disappointing season. If they don't get there, they're not, to me, I wouldn't bet on them.
Who's your favorite team in the NFC?
The Rams.
You like the Rams more than the Eagles?
I do.
Okay. Let's say they're on different sides of the bracket. Who else do you like more than the Eagles?
I like the Lions.
Okay. So you're picking the Lions and the Rams right now. Let's just say it's a neutral field, because who knows what happens in seeding. You would take the Lions and the Rams on a neutral field over the Eagles?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, I don't think I'd take either one over them. I'm not sure there's anybody in the NFC I would take over the Eagles on a neutral field right now today.
I'm surprised how bad the offense has been this year, you know, getting guys involved. A.J. Brown, Devontae's been up and down this year. Jalen Hurts has been good. Like, he's not a problem. Like, Jordan Love seems like a problem on the other side of last night's game. Just the offense is not clicking in the way it was last year. Saquon Barkley's not having statistically a phenomenal year like he was last year. It just seems a bit off. Like, it's not clicking yet. It doesn't mean it won't click, but it's clicking elsewhere so well for these other teams in the NFC. I just can't view the Eagles as that top team there right now.
Agree to disagree with you there. We'll see what happens. I had Saquon Barkley and Jake Elliott on my fantasy football team yesterday. Mm-hmm. And everybody cares about everybody else's fantasy football team. I always say that. I needed 8 points in that game. And I'm sitting there with 10 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. I might not get this. Yeah. I was 95% chance to win. And then we're there 10 minutes to play in the fourth. And I'm sweating it. I didn't expect to be sweating this. I thought we'd be done in the first quarter. Now, luckily, Saquon Barkley had that long pass catch where he caught and ran it for 50 yards or whatever it was, 40 yards, and that put me over the top. So everybody was wondering. You know, no one really cared about the Eagles, Packers, the result. No one cared about what bets that they had. We were all worried and concerned. Did Branham's fantasy football team win? Mm-hmm. And I'm here to report that we sweated it out. But we got the victory, Joe.
Yeah, my team did not. So
got it. No one cares about your fantasy football team, Joe. No one cares about anybody's fantasy football team. We know
except
that.
For yours.
Fantasy for football is my religion.
Matthew LaFleur. Did you see this like narrative out there now that he's coaching for his job, starting to pick up some steam?
I did.
I'm surprised by this narrative, Joe.
Go ahead. Please,
I'm
please
surprised. Green Bay's please. Won a bunch of football games over the year. I think Matt LaFleur is one of the better offensive minds in the NFL. If selfishly, honestly, and look, I don't think the Texans are going to be moving on from Nick Caley in the offseason. I just don't see it happening. But if they do, and Matt LaFleur is fired, yes, please.
He ain't coming here.
That would be fantastic. Yes, please. Why not?
He's going to be a head coach next year.
Yeah, but Joe, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. I want him as the Texans OC with that fabulous hair.
I would love it. I would love it. It gets him away from the Packers. That makes me happy because he's a great football coach, Jeremy.
Yeah.
He's a great football coach.
At least a really good offensive mind.
Yes. Yes. And that's all that matters. But if he was available.
Well, I disagree.
With what?
Not to nitpick it. Like, that's not all that matters. Like, to be a good offensive mind is not all that matters.
Well, for the Texans job.
To be a head coach. Yeah, yeah, for the Texans job, for sure.
Yeah. And if he came here, Packers go down, Texans go up. I love my life. That makes me football happy, Jeremy. So I hope Matt LaFleur gets run out of town by those fake owners.
There's so many owners there in Green Bay.
Got to keep them all happy.
Now, LaFleur hasn't had his best success since 19 and 20. He went to back-to-back AFC, or NFC rather. They play in the NFC, guys. He went to back-to-back NFC championship games in his first 2 years there and hasn't been back since. So maybe they're going restless, you know? You got Jordan Love you pay money to. You trade for Micah Parsons where you mortgage some of your future to get him into the fold. So I understand patience wearing thin. I think it would be foolish if your patience wore so thin that you fire LaFleur. I think that would be silly. But, hey, I'm writing them down. I'm writing down that name. I'm taking notes, Joe. Offensive coordinator candidates, should the Texans move on from Nick Caley? LaFleur's in the mix. McDaniel's in the mix. I don't hate the idea of Dable. I would be perfectly content and happy with Brian Dable. People were in my comments yesterday on Twitter thinking he was a defensive guy. Not the case. He's an offensive mind. Was really good in Buffalo. Actually had some pretty good years in New York, actually, as well. Am I missing anybody on my list?
No, those are the – did you say Stefanski, sorry?
I didn't, but if we want to throw him in the mix too as a potential firing, yeah, give me him. Zach Taylor, if they potentially fire him, I don't think they're going to, but if they potentially fire him, he would be in the mix for me too.
Yeah, look, you want a dream scenario, any of those coaches. They check that box. They can bring in their own staffs. They have plenty of years of experience play calling. Some of them might not find a job right away, like Mike McDaniel would be in that category where he's not going to, be here for 2 years and then go have success elsewhere or try to go be a head coach elsewhere. I think Dayball's probably in that same category. Like, I don't think he's going to be jumping back into a head coaching job right away. LaFleur probably would. Like, comes here for a year, gets the Texans to an AFC championship game, and he leaves. But it'd still be totally worth it.
I would take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think the odds are that Caley is fired? Because we like to do this each week.
He raised his stock a little bit last week.
Savage of us? We're like putting odds on a guy getting fired?
No.
Professional sports entertainment.
35%.
You're a 35% chance he gets fired?
Yeah.
Okay, so more probable he does not.
Yeah. Maybe this is your fault because you keep saying you don't think it's going to happen, so I'm sorry to come your way.
I don't. Like,
a little bit.
I don't. Why wouldn't he call plays? Scoffs at Will Kunk when he asked that question. How come D'Amico's not getting asked that this week, by the way?
Because they score touchdowns?
Because they won football game.
Yeah, that's good.
You win one football game, and then all of a sudden the narrative changes like that. It's the ebbs and flow. The ebbs and flow of the football drama that happens. I love it. Meanwhile, the team's right here. The team's even killed. They're flatlining, and the media is just ebbs and flows in this weird roller coaster that is the narrative. But that, to be said, we can say the same thing about athletic directors. I mean, look at Franklin up there in Penn State. He was one of the four final teams in the playoffs last year, was ranked in the top five, and then was fired 3 weeks later. So, yeah.
I think that that's the comp a little bit for LaFleur here is what happened with James Franklin. That Matt LaFleur hasn't been able to win the big games. He's had a lot of success, but he's lost multiple playoff games, specifically to Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers last year, lost to the Eagles, hasn't made a big run yet as the Packers coach, and it's a franchise that has a history of winning Super Bowls, not a lot of them. two all-time great quarterbacks, and they have two titles to call their name to for that. But
man, he's, you're a hater.
I am a hater. But he's below expectation for what the Packers would be right now because he hasn't won the big one yet. And he's got the quarterback, in theory.
Yeah, I'm with you that he would be a hot name, though, as a head coach.
Yeah.
Junkie dialed in just for a fantasy football update. Thank you. My life is complete. I'm here to surf. That's what I'm here to do.
Fantasy football is my religion.
I'm here to tell you that we really care, Branham. Thank you for that. You're welcome. I'm here to serve. I'm here to please. It's the Madden cover curse. That's why he hasn't played as good as last season. Who was on the Madden cover? I gave up video games.
Saquon.
I haven't played video games in 10 years. Saquon was on the Madden cover?
Yeah.
Was this his first cover?
I don't think so.
Huh.
But normally the curse is an injury.
No, sometimes it can be lack of play, right? Yeah, I think sometimes it's lack of production.
Yeah.
In Michael Vick's case, he was starting to fight dogs.
That's true.
You beat me to it.
That's true.
So, like, it's case by case, Joe. Jordan Love had a great second half one season and hasn't done anything since. He's right there with Trevor Lawrence as far as being overrated. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is overrated anymore.
Not anymore.
No.
What's up, Trevor?
I think he's past the overrated stage. Now he's just overpaid. He's a problem. I have an idea of what I would do if I were James Gladstone in the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because I think they hate Trevor Lawrence. I don't think they're fans of Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you can really, like, I don't know what you can do with the contract. I don't know when, like, the guarantees are and when he's, you know, tradable or whatever. But I have the perfect name for Jacksonville to be their quarterback.
Okay.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
You want to guess who it is?
I want to see if it's the same one I'm thinking.
I have a name in mind.
Is it Mac Jones?
It was not.
No.
Well, you guys are casuals and don't know ball.
Brian,
I was going to say Jameis Winston.
No.
No. Jameis Winston. They're sending two plays to the line and telling the quarterback to get into the right play, and you want it to be Jameis Winston?
I didn't know how serious you're taking. I didn't know if you're being sarcastic here or if you're being serious.
That's fair, because you never know. No, I was being serious. I think Mac Jones would fit them perfectly.
Quarterback problem for quarterback problem. Go fix Kyler Murray, Liam Cohen.
No. It's a sophisticated offense, man. They need a guy who's sophisticated, gets the ball out, throws it to where it's supposed to be, on time, precise, on schedule.
Like the greatest athlete of our generation?
Davis Mills?
No, your boy Kyler Murray, the greatest athlete of our generation.
Kyler Murray is none of those things I just mentioned. He's the greatest athlete currently walking planet Earth that's an active player in their sport. But he is none of those things that I just said was important for Jacksonville.
Trevor Lawrence's dead cap next year is $116.5 million.
They're stuck.
What's up, Trevor?
That's so much money. It drops to $65 million the next year.
He hasn't made a big run while being the Packers head coach. Jeremy just said he made two consecutive NFC championship games. Come on, Joe. That's a good point. Is Peterson an option, Wheatstraw? I don't know. Joe mentioned him the other day.
I mean, I'm open to it. It's not one of my favorite candidates, but I would rather a veteran head coach that comes in to be your OC, you know, I prefer one of the guys we just named, but Doug Peterson probably be like the next guy on my list over like a Mike McCarthy, I would say.
Mac Jones made Brian Thomas Jr. actually good last year, too. You remember that? Brian Thomas Jr. had a spike with Mac Jones. They need to bring Mac Jones back to Duval. He would save that franchise. He'd be perfect for Liam Cohen. You know what would be interesting? I just blew my mind in real time. Some of you saw that look on my face. Do you know where Liam Cohen was an offensive coordinator?
Tampa Bay?
In college?
Oh, Kentucky.
You want Will Levis? Go away.
Did you
say something about being smart and being able to handle a lot?
I think he's smarter than Kyler.
I mean, he did eat a banana with the pill on.
I don't know how smart he is. Yeah, but he's eating healthy. It wasn't a piece of candy. So it shows he cares about his body.
Look, you can't be a good quarterback in the NFL. I said it from the very beginning. You put mayo in your coffee, you're not a good quarterback.
See, that's a bulletproof coffee. A lot of people do that. It's a fatty coffee, which is, again, like he thinks his body is a temple. Which, what does he think about his brain? If he thinks his body's a temple, he probably thinks his brain is a temple, too.
This is how I know you're going to be a bad quarterback. So far, I've got two things on my list. Okay, Jeremy? You wear the number 47 or a non-quarterback number, or you put mayo in your coffee.
Joe,
do one of those two things, you're a bad quarterback.
This kind of ticks me off, to be honest with you. Because you're in no position to be talking about what is good for you and bad for you in terms of your coffee, you know, daily intake.
I'm not talking about your health, Jeremy. I'm talking about being a good quarterback. It's weird.
No, I mean, we're sitting here talking about mayo and a coffee when Tom Brady had avocado ice cream and so many other weird stuff.
Doesn't matter.
If anything, I want a quarterback who eats and drinks questionable stuff as opposed to, like, eating junk.
We have one quarterback who eats weird stuff, and now you think all of them should do it.
This is why I wasn't sure if he was being sarcastic or serious earlier, because he brought up Will Levis.
Well, I just put together that he used to be his coordinator at Kentucky. Yeah, but well, no. I don't know if Cohen likes him. I don't know if he likes him. We'll see. But I am wondering what the second life of Will Levis is like in the NFL. It should be interesting.
He'll get a job next year as a backup.
Yeah, I think he'll get a job somewhere. Zach Wilson's still flying around, you know? Yeah, he'll get a job. All right, 713-780-3776. Busy show. Astros hot stove. What are they going to do? Cash your trash. How's it going in Duval? Nico fired. Maybe some game balls if we get to that a little bit later as well. But coming up next, do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. You can watch us at YouTube, ESPN Houston, TikTok at ESPN 975, Twitter at ESPN 975, YouTube, ESPN Houston. I think I already mentioned that, but that's okay. So nice, you got to say it twice. On Twitter at ESPN 975, Joe's at Joe George Radio, Brian's at Sacked by BMAC, I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 975 and ESPN 925. What a perfect time to talk about Higgins Boat Rum. Thank you, veterans, by the way, for all that you've done for us in the past, making us the greatest country in the world, and also that allows us to have the greatest rum in the world, and that of course is Higgins Boat Rum. It's rum on a mission. Higgins Boat Rum is known as the Texas bourbon drinker's rum. It is bold, it is smooth, and then it's also steeped in history. It honors the greatest generation. Higgins Boat Rum, perfect if you like to sip it neat, perfect on the rocks, on a big rock. It's excellent for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails, your classics, too. I've been putting it in my old-fashioned. Try your Manhattan with it. You got the classics. You got a pina colada. So good in a pina colada. It's fantastic in a Mai Tai. If you like eggnog, we're starting to get into the season of eggnog. Try your Higgins Boat Rum with it. Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle to Camp Hope to support our veterans, which is awesome. So you're honoring heroes with every pour of Higgins Boat Rum. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all their social media accounts. You're going to get tasty cocktail ideas, behind-the-scenes stories, live updates, great content, too, that they're putting out on a daily basis. Higgins Boat Rum uses that Percedo craft technology that we've all grown to love. It makes the rum smoother, enhances those natural flavors and aromas, and then gets rid of all that bad stuff. Gets rid of the harsh elements that doesn't make us feel good in the morning. It's a premium top shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now. You can get it out at the Total Wine in Baybrook. You can visit them online too. Make it real easy for you. HigginsBoatRum.com. It ships to 48 states across the U.S. So you got some family members who like rum. You're not going to go see them at Christmas time because you love them, but you don't love them that much. Sing them some Higgins Boat Rum. They'll love it. Ships to 48 states. HigginsBoatRum.com. Crafted by the bold, inspired by the brave.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Lamont says, shout out to Chicago Joe. That punk quarterback of Chicago was the last hit I needed to win me $428 on $10 on Underdog Fantasy. Needed Caleb to rush for more than 19 and a half. Yeah, Lamont sent me a tweet on Sunday, I guess, where he hit a seven-legger. He had a seven-legger, turned 10 bucks into 428. Nice. See how easy it is? Like, if Lamont can do it, you can do it.
Oh.
What are you waiting for? Download the Underdog app right now. Promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. If Lamont can win a seven-legger, you can win a seven-legger, too. Promo code KILLERB. Just the B, though. Don't spell out the B.
Yeah.
K-I-L-L-E-R-B. And the reason that we use that promo code is because my last name starts with B, mm-hmm. and I'm Killer.
Yep.
So Killer B, K-I-L-L-E-R-B.
Is that accurate?
Fantasy app. And Lamont, that is real. Lamont sent me his ticket. He won $428 on 10 bucks. So congratulations, Lamont. Lamont didn't go to the C store with his $5. Like, all of you should not be going to the C store with your $5. Don't get your ham and cheese sandwich today. Repurpose that $5 into something fun, something that could be very profitable for you.
Did you hit any this weekend, Jeremy?
Killer B. I've been looking at my best ball drafts. I have some interesting teams, Joe. You want me to read off all of them?
Yeah, why not? We only got 500 to go through. So
I started to look at my the teams that I had advancing, and I fell asleep halfway through it. My wife was watching stand-up. She was watching that Leanne lady. You okay. know who I'm talking about?
Nope.
She's, I forget her last name. She's like very Southern, very country, and talks like this. And she likes her. She's a fan of her. And she was watching her stand-up last night after Monday Night Football. I was like, yeah, I hogged the TV for Monday Night Football. I'll let her do this. And then I started looking at my fantasy football teams that were projected to advance, and I fell asleep looking at them. Because there are so many, Joe.
There's so many on my team.
There's so many advancing.
Oh, there's so many. Oh, so you're just crushing it this year.
Yeah, I'm doing a great job. You too can do a great job on Underdog. Promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. There's a few texts I was going to read here. Oh, Eric the Buyer. Avocado ice cream isn't that weird. The history of ice cream is full of odd flavors like Parmesan or turmeric. Is this ban-worthy? Does Eric the Buyer need to catch a boot?
I don't think so, because it's probably okay. factual.
You taught me off the ledge, then, because Eric the Buyer was this close to getting a boot.
But Parmesan ice cream? What are we doing? Why would you ruin ice cream like that? And I like Parmesan.
I've never heard of Parmesan ice cream.
I've never heard of
turmeric ice cream.
Nope, neither for that.
I do use a little turmeric from time to time, but I've never eaten the ice cream of it.
No, I've never.
You don't want to kick out Eric the Buyer for the day?
No, I like Eric the Buyer. It's not ban worthy.
This is your warning, Eric the Buyer.
He's pointing out a fact.
I don't care. Harsh warning, Eric the Buyer. Anything remotely close is going to get you an ejection for the rest of the day. We boot people around here. 713-780-3776. Wow, more fantasy football. Jeremy, I'm so satisfied. I wasn't even talking about my teams. I was talking about the success and the excellence that I'm having with these teams. Ghost of YouTube, Keith on the YouTube. I do not want McDaniels. He is too relaxed with his players. See, I don't mind that so much from a coordinator, Joe. I don't want it from my head coach, but I don't mind if my coordinator's relaxed with the players.
Yeah, I'm not concerned because D'Amico is the one who sets the tone. And and even some of the stuff that's happened in Miami with players not being on time to meetings or being late to meetings, or that's the same thing, or not going to meetings. Like, it's, you don't have to worry about that with D'Amico as the head coach. That's not going to fly here. It shows he can't be a head coach, but doesn't, to me, disqualify him as the OC.
No, not for me anyways.
The pants, though.
What's that?
His pants got to tuck, they got to go all the way down.
Joe, again,
I don't know,
seek your input in healthy food, no offense, and I don't really seek your advice when it comes to fashion, again, no offense, respectfully, I'm saying these things to you.
You are okay with your NFL head coach showing off his calves?
It depends on the calves.
I don't know, I think it's not really head coach material.
I mean, it doesn't. I don't care. I don't care if I don't want to be my head coach. And offensive coordinators, I think, are quirky anyways, right? They're kind of wizards and oddballs. Mm-hmm. I don't care the pants that my offensive coordinator is wearing. I care that you scheme up success you move the ball and you score a lot of points. Think of the amount of quirky offensive coordinators, especially, that we've seen in the history of the game. My mind immediately goes to Mike Leach, maybe one of the quirkiest dudes ever. Mm-hmm. He was really good as an offensive mind. Who else do we have? Quirky dudes. I mean, McDaniel's quirky. I think Shanahan's kind of quirky. He's tries to be really tough and a hardo.
Yeah.
And to the core, he's a nerd. McVay's kind of weird. McVay wears capris, too. McVay wears his pants all the way up to his calves.
That's a good counterpoint, but as long as you're winning, then it's okay.
What other weird, quirky OCs have we had? Is Cignetti an offensive guy? Because he's weird and quirky.
Yeah, he's just weird.
Holgorsen was weird and quirky.
Yeah, but...
OCs are weird and quirky, man.
Well, I mean, defensive coaches are, too. You got Bill Belichick.
I feel like they're more hardos.
That's true. But they're quirky in a different way.
So they're Chip, psycho.
Chip Kelly's a little weird.
He's a little weird. Yeah. Offensive mind.
Yeah.
Tom Herman, offensive mind, a little weird. Very weird.
Ben Johnson.
Had a P-chart once.
Yeah. Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury's not weird.
He's too cool to be weird.
Yeah.
But that's almost weird. How cool he tries to be.
It almost is. No, he doesn't try to be cool. He's just naturally cool.
He just oozes machismo.
But it does border on weird. I agree with you, Joe. It does border on weird, but it's not anything that he's doing. It's natural for him. Kellen Moore says somebody. He is kind of weird. Kellen Moore. Brandon, I'm pooping all over Joe Jordan.
I know, I'm getting dumped on today.
Well, dude, I'm just being honest with you.
You don't like my takes.
Joe, that's not nothing to do with your takes.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
With your takes. I call it like I see it. If people are in the path and get a little sensitive about it, so be it. Sorry about it.
Joe, there's
a lot of things I would look for advice. There's a lot of things in my life that I would go to you and seek advice.
Name three.
Fantasy football. How to go 7-7 in fantasy football.
Whoa! That's an insult already!
NCAA video games.
Yep, great call.
How to stay up past 2 a.m. and wake up at 7.
That's true.
Like, there's a lot of things I would look at, Joe.
Yeah, it's not a great list.
No, it's not a great list.
The best pizza to have in Chicago. Not popular streets in Chicago, but the best pizza to have in Chicago. There's a lot of things I would go to you for. There's a lot of things I would go to you for, Joe. But fashion advice and eating healthy ain't two things.
I don't want my coach to show his ankles and his calves. That's not a big ask. I thought you, honestly, I'm shocked you're not on my side with
this.
It's
a big what?
It's a big ask.
Making sure. You're talking about calves. Seeing if you went up further the leg, you know? Like, I mean, you're talking about OC's calves. I don't know what's next.
I just figured, I thought you were going to be on my side with this take, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I am as a head coach. I don't want my head coach showing off their calves. Okay. Offensive coordinator, they're allowed to be cuckoo. They're allowed to be crazy. Right. Coordinators are allowed to be crazy.
Yeah, like
head coaches, no.
Like Adam Gase, his bug eyes were okay when he was an OC, but when he became the Jets head coach, problem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think it was always a problem.
I draw the line in the promotion to the head coach. You can be as weird as you want as an offensive coordinator, maybe even as a defensive coordinator, but you can't be weird as a head coach.
Normal
can't do
person.
It. Won't do it. Another junkie says 100% agree with Joe. There you go.
At least someone does.
You got one. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's not ignore in victory what we win in defeat. It's Jeremy and Joe. It's ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Sometimes people do call me the Huntington Bank bad boy. A lot of people are saying it. Not
is
just
that accurate?
Me. Sports Illustrated saying it. Bleacher Report is saying it. ESPN is saying it. Do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. But because we're consistent, Joe, because we're fair, because we're balanced, I think it would be appropriate if we, before we don't ignore in victory, we wouldn't in defeat, praise more people from the Texans for their win on Sunday. Maybe those that we didn't get to yesterday.
Go Texans.
Maybe ones that didn't get enough praise. I think in the interest of fairness, I think we should give out some praise before we don't ignore in victory what we wouldn't in defeat. Do you have any praise to give, Joe?
Yeah, I'll start with, for me, Nico Collins is one that made big-time plays and big-time catches in this game when you really need to. We didn't talk enough about him and the impact he made. That two-point conversion catch, just being, you know, reliable for Davis Mills in this game. Nico stepped up in a big way. And I know D'Amico is unfamiliar with what that means for a player to do. but Nico Collins stepped up
shade.
In a big way.
It's not Joe shade. Throwing shade.
It's not shade.
Who are you, DJ Bienemy? He was going after
D'Amico Ryans was asked about players stepping up, and I don't know how you don't watch this game, but like, yeah, that guy stepped up, that guy stepped up, that guy stepped up.
Who's feeding him the ball, Joe? He can't get it without,
right.
without Davis.
Yeah, he caught it one-handed, and Jaden Higgins went up and caught a pass that could have put him in the hospital. They stepped up.
No, you're right. That's a good call, Nico. Nico's a freak. He reminded us of that on Sunday. You could throw Dalton Schultz into the mix, too. He had a big game. He was being targeted a lot. Maybe it's that Stanford connection, the Paulo Alto duo between Davis Mills and Dalton Schultz. I think we got to give love for Danielle Hunter. We know we didn't bring up Danielle Hunter much enough yesterday. Four TFLs, he had 3.5 sacks, and he got John Gruden to talk about him a little bit.
Got me feeling 4 sacks! Motor! Power, speed, a wrecking machine indeed.
Motor, power, speed, he's a awesome. Wrecking machine indeed.
You want that whole thing as a drop, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're on the same page.
I hope John Gruden
got me feeling nicey.
Does not get a head coaching job.
I said the same thing to Jeremy during the break. I hope he never gets another head coaching job.
I need those in my life going forward. Goodness. They're so ridiculous and over the top.
4 sacks. Motor, power, speed, a wrecking machine indeed.
Oh! He's great. He's so
motor
great.
Power speed, a wrecking machine indeed. We need one. We need him to do one on Davis Mills. We had a texter yesterday saying, dice him Davis, like shred him Stroud. That'd be pretty funny.
Shred him Stroud!
That's funny. It didn't really seem like he got the entertainment and enjoyment out of it from you guys as much as
well,
it did me.
You just didn't do as well as Gruden
Yeah,
does.
You're right. I didn't deliver
you
it.
You dropped the ball.
That's fair. I did.
But Neil Hunter was a monster in
yeah,
this game.
He was a wrecking machine indeed. All right, let's get to the any more praise that we need to give out? Maybe Derek Stingley for the one-handed
yeah.
pick. That
yeah,
was nasty.
That was pretty amazing.
That was a really good interception. Oh, I want to give more praise to I watched about a quarter and a half of the film today, the All-22. I didn't finish it. I didn't have time. But I watched about a quarter and a half of it. Davis Mills is like an athletic freak. I'm starting to realize that more and more. There was one where he probably should have thrown an interception, but he like stiffed arm. I think it was Walker.
Oh,
he like stiffed arm Walker to the ground. It's like you look like Mike Alstott playing the quarterback.
Was it the
position.
Play where Walker was unblocked?
Maybe was it the one where Mills almost threw an interception to the near sideline?
There might. I don't remember. He definitely got the ball away. I don't remember how he did it, but there was a play where Walker came unblocked and somehow it didn't end in a sack. Like it was amazing. Like Mills, I think. Pushed him off, like did multiple spin arounds, and somehow got rid of the ball, even though Walker was completely unblocked.
I think it might have been a different play. This was one where he stiffed arm. I think it was Walker, but I'm not 100% sure. And then he rolled out and almost threw a pick, which wasn't a good throw. Should have been intercepted. But like okay, like I didn't realize you had the stiff arm in your bag, Davis. And then he had another one when Juice Scruggs first came into the game, where Juice Scruggs allowed a defender, I think it was Armstead, to go right around him. And, like, Mills spun away, escaped out of the A-gap, and turned what should have been a sack into, like, a 5-yard gain. Mm-hmm. It's like, Vanilla Vic. I didn't realize we had our own Vanilla Vic in Houston, but I'm happy that we do.
Got to start creating some packages for him, then.
Vanilla, I know.
Some wild Mills.
Some wild Mills.
Mills cat.
Yeah, let's do it.
Someone says, I mean, the weirdest OC was Leach. Look, offensive genius, good call. Eric the Buyer says, Mike Leach created the air raid. No, he didn't. How Mummy created the air raid. Leach took it from Mummy and then made it popular.
Jeremy?
What?
Band?
Was that his second one? Was that the same Eric?
Isn't it Eric the Buyer?
Let's see if Eric was the... Oh, yeah, you're right. Eric, you're gone. Sorry. Softest ejection ever.
You just made the list!
I needed a little bit of Joe encouragement and help and aid. But Eric, you're gone. You're out of here. You're ejected for the rest of the show. You come back tomorrow, I'll be happy to see you. You're ejected for the rest of the show, Eric. You sent us the turmeric... Parmesan ice cream earlier, and here you are throwing out lies that Mike Leach created the air raid offense when it was Hal Mummy. So you, Eric, you're gone. All right, don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat, Joe.
The special team sucks.
Yes.
It's very bad. It's a collective issue, and even, you know, Autry's obviously been incredible this year and throughout his career blocking kicks. Unfortunate penalty there that he got that was costly for the Texans on one of the field goals. I guess it wasn't super costly because they only kicked the field goal on that drive, but it was even closer. But the return game, or I guess the kickoff unit, is not good at their job. They can't stop these guys. They can't stop anyone. And your kickoff return team, you got fumbles. You're not getting the explosive plays. Special teams is not good.
There was several different plays on special teams that I wrote down here. One was the fumble. Like, that's not good. I understand that's only, like, one guy failing to do his job, but still, like, that falls on the special team. The punt return touchdown, which I've noticed, like, and they had another big punt return. And Parker Washington is a good football player. Like, I think he proved that in this game. But too many guys are bunched instead of casting, like, a wide net. Like, we need to build the wall, Frank Ross. Build the wall. He has all his guys bunched together. So it's like you make one guy miss, that's the whole entire bunch, and then you have three or four guys who are toast, who are done. They're out of the play. So too many guys in the same spot. Not good. They had a punt where Tommy Townsend was punting near midfield where it went into the end zone. Like, that's a 23-yard net there, roughly. No, it wasn't. It wasn't roughly. I just forget where the line of scrimmage was. You had a 23-yard net. Like, that can't happen. That's not good. The Jags had great field position on kick returns the entire game. They had it at the 36. They had one at the 30, at the 45. After the Texans made it a 5-point game in the fourth quarter, kick return to the 45-yard line. That ain't good. Mm-hmm. Frank Ross, stop being so energetic and go scheme up some special teams, bro. Come on, man. Not good.
Yeah. It's concerning. Like, it hasn't gotten any better. It just feels like there's a couple teams in the NFL that are really struggling with some of these new rules on the kickoff return this year. And the Texans are one of them. That there's way too much positive field position. You're just making life that much harder for your defense. to be giving the team the ball on the 45-yard line, it's just not, it's not, it doesn't cut it.
And that's not even, that's not even bringing up the fact of like that's not even bringing up the fact of like the who's returning kicks. Like, that's also been a thing. Like, this little kick return, punt returner rotation, like, people haven't really liked that. So I have not been pleased. And I think Frank Ross is a good special teams coach. He's proven that in years past. He has not been this year. Special teams has been a negative for the Texans. You got any, Brian?
Yeah, like, there's still too many times where when the opposing quarterback is even remotely mobile, that they just completely fall asleep and lose them and allow a big scramble. I believe there was one in the fourth quarter that would have been big, but it got called back because of a penalty. But there's still too many times.
No, it didn't get called back. That's the one that put him in range.
Okay, that put him in range. They had a pass that got called back because of a penalty. Okay.
The hands to the face.
Yeah, I knew something got called back because of a penalty.
It was the play before that.
Right. I remember watching when Lawrence scrambled out. I was just like, here we go again. Like flashbacks of obviously Baker Mayfield with Henry Toto allowing it, or Bo Nix a couple weeks ago, or last week. Allowing a similar thing. There's still too many times when you face a mobile quarterback, and oh, by the way, Josh Allen's coming up on the schedule, where they just completely lose that assignment and allow a big run to pick up a third down or get him into a scoring range.
I had that on my list, too, and the thing that I would piggyback off of that, Brian, is it seems to happen in crunch time. Like, this happened in what could have been a game-winning drive or at least a chance for Little to win the game. And if you didn't get the hands in the face, they completed a pass to Washington that would have made it, what, a 57, 58-yarder? Well within Cam Little's range. So, like, that happened on the final drive. Bo Nix's big scramble happened on the final drive when Henry To'o was out of position. I had that, too. And it's like, yeah, maybe throw in a spy. Like, maybe you could do that because you have pass rushers that can get to the quarterback. Like, maybe you can make a trade-off there. One guy, instead of going for the QB, you drop them back into coverage so you don't let the quarterback, you know, get out of the pocket and gain 20 yards, and all of a sudden you lose the game. We're pretty pleased with the offense, I think. There were three occasions, though, where play clock winding down were once they took the delay of game, and then twice, both times in the second half, they took a timeout. Mm-hmm. That's not good ball, guys. That's not good ball. Like, those timeouts are precious. If you're wasting not one but two timeouts to save a delay of game, that's not a good operation. So just pointing that out, just throwing that out there, because, look, we're happy today and yesterday because they won a football game.
Yeah,
that ain't good football. That's not good football. You take a delay and a timeout twice to avoid a delay, that's not good ball.
Yeah, and that's something we've seen be – it hasn't happened a lot with C.J. Stroud when he's been at quarterback, but it's been very obvious that there's – a lot of times you're looking at the clock and it's going 5, 4, 3, 2, and they're snapping it off.
It was a complaint last year, too.
Yes, and they're getting off at the last second. But then when you have your backup quarterback in, you're going to have to call these timeouts. You're going to get the delay of game penalty. So the operation, that hasn't really gotten fixed also with the OC change, and that's a little concerning.
Yeah, so that's still something that I didn't like to see. Kalen Bullock might be one of the worst tacklers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think he shies away from contact, and then when he doesn't, he's bad at making a tackle. Not good there. And then the last one that I have, penalties again under DeMeco. 11 penalties for 80 yards. And then, oh yeah, by the way, you had first and goal from the two on the final drive and you jump. Like, Davis Mills bailed you out because he's Vanilla Vic. He bailed you out with an incredible scramble. But let's not forget that the Texans had it first and two, or first and goal from the two, and they had a false start.
Well, they got backed up again, right?
Yes. Like, that's not winning football. Now, you got bailed out by Vanilla Vic, Davis Mills, combination of Joe Flacco and Mike Vick, some are saying on the Twitch. He bailed you out, but that's not winning football, guys.
The other one I would just throw in, too, is just how the offensive line started. You put out an offensive line combination for 9 plays. Like, what are you doing? Like you don't know your best offensive line before the game?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to put in a right guard who none of us have ever heard of?
I watched all of City South snaps.
That's not a lot.
All 9 of them?
All 9 of them. Did y'all realize that he got pulled mid-drive?
No.
No, I didn't.
He got pulled mid-drive. So I found a play where I think was the reason that he drew their ire. And then they left him in for one more play, which was a third down, got the first down. And then after they got the first down, they pulled him off and Juice Scruggs came in for the rest of the drive. It was the second drive of the game. So he allowed a pass rush. He allowed a quarterback hurry, like, badly. He got beat badly. I think it was Armstead. Got beat badly. And Davis Mills, like, made a miss and, like, scrambled for 3 or 4 yards because he's an unbelievable athlete, Davis Mills. We've always said it. And then he stayed in for the third down. They converted a third in, like, medium. And then he was pulled. He got pulled mid-series.
That's not good.
Yeah.
And again,
I posted it too at Jeremy Branham on
why
Twitter.
Why is he out there?
Breaking down film like only I can.
Why was he out there to begin with? I don't understand.
It's a great question. I had offensive line debacle, but we talked about it yesterday. But certainly, the way they've handled the offensive line is questionable for sure.
I think that covers it, everything for me. I mean, Davis, you know, he's gotten his love and he deserves it, but there's still a lot of missed throws where you can see why he's a backup quarterback. Rewatching it a little bit last night, and it's just he's fine. Like he can win you a game again this weekend, I think, but I don't understand the people who want him.
Here are a couple of texts from the junkies. Do we win that game with Stroud? I'm concerned Stroud pees down his leg on that fourth down, unlike Magic Mills. Another junkie, after watching all 22, is CJ still your QB1, and if so, why? Let's hit those on the other side. 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Affordability is the biggest problem in today's car market. New vehicles average nearly $48,000, and most people's wages, well, they just haven't kept up. That's why some are stuck with seven-year loans just to make the payment work. At D&M Leasing, they solve that problem with the Easy Lease, offering lower monthly payments, no money down, and terms that make sense. It's a really simple process. You go to their website, dmautoleasing.com, or you can just call 713-290-1000, and you're going to be talking with a leasing agent. You're going to talk to one person. That's it. You're not going to be handed off one person to another, one-on-one, and you'll be going through the kind of car you want, going through your lease process and just what that's going to look like for you. And the best part is, well, it can be done within 24 to 72 hours. I was talking to Kelly today from D&M Leasing, and that's what he told me, that in a day, 2 days, 3 days, you can have your car. It's really just going to depend on if you know what kind of car you want or not. And they will bring the car to you, to your house, to your office, wherever you want it. They will deliver the car and take your trade-in with you right there on the spot. Visit them at dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000 today.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. To the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe. After watching the All-22, is CJ still your QB1, and if so, why? To be fair, I only watched a quarter and a half. I didn't have the time today. I'm going to try to watch the rest tonight, maybe in the morning. We'll see. But from what I saw, not even close. CJ Stroud easily the better quarterback. Now, Davis Mills has the athleticism to get away from some sacks. He's kind of a gunslinger. Like, I think we view Davis Mills as like, hey, he's going to take care of the football, very conservative, very safe. And I don't think so. Like, I think he's got a little gunslinger in him, actually. Made some throws that could have easily been interceptions. Missed wildly on some throws as well. Now, to be fair, I watched his worst football. I haven't watched the best that he played on Sunday yet. So, it's probably not a fair sample of what I've seen from Davis on the All-22. But, no, it's not close. Davis Mills isn't in the same league as C.J. Stroud.
No, and I don't know why anything from his history would want you don't want to change your stance on that. If you want to be pro Davis Mills all of a sudden after one really good quarter of football, like I feel like you're just ignoring everything we saw with him as a starter, and you're ignoring the fact that the Texans chose Case Keenum over Davis Mills when you needed him in a crunch game, you know, 2 seasons ago. So all those things are there. Yes, he got paid. He's a really good backup quarterback. He's one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league. You can think C.J. Stroud's not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, but just because C.J. is maybe not top 10 in your eyes doesn't mean that Davis Mills is better. I don't think it's not really close.
It's not. It's not. Another junkie, he's not afraid to throw the ball down the field like a quarterback is supposed to do. Yeah, I mean, that's a fair assessment. I do think he's got a little gunslinger in him. I wouldn't say that Stroud's scared to throw the ball down the field, though. Like, yeah. Is that a fair assessment of Stroud?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't like, maybe, you know, maybe it's more of a Stroud trying to, like, you know, be careful with the ball, like protect the football. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's a bad characteristic for a quarterback to have, especially whenever you have the top defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
I understand it took Mills a couple quarters to warm up, but he had a lot of energy in that stadium mid third and fourth quarter. He won the game for us and scored a touchdown in the red zone. Facts. Those things are facts. That doesn't mean he's QB1. Not saying that you're saying that. Some people are. And I like Mills as the backup. Like, I'm cool with Davis Mills being the backup. He showed some stuff to me. My takeaway from Davis Mills in that game is, okay, Nick Caserio, I understand why you paid him, and I'm happy with Davis Mills as the backup quarterback for the Houston Texans as long as he has us. That's my takeaway from Davis Mills Sunday.
Yeah, it's he's great at what his job is supposed to be, Jeremy. He's one of the best that you could possibly have. But if he hit free agency, how many teams is he starting for next year?
I don't think there's very many.
Like one? Maybe for 6 weeks?
You know, I started to think about this a little bit more because of the texture that we had yesterday. Like, could he be the next Sam Darnold, the next Baker Mayfield, like that sort of thing? And the more I thought about it, I thought, no. The answer to that is no. But I do think he can be a retread quarterback that's on the lower tier. Like, why couldn't he be Geno Smith?
I just don't think I don't think he has the talent of Geno Smith. And I'm not a Geno Smith guy, as has been proven on this show.
I mean, I don't think that they're very different in talent. Like, Geno might have a bigger arm, but Mills is a better athlete. Like, I don't know if they're that different skill-wise.
Yeah. He could serve as your starting quarterback for, like, a year, maybe. But to me, like, the flaws in his game, if you play them out over a 17-game regular season schedule, they're going to crush you. Like, he's not going to be able to elevate the guys around him. Everything's going to have to be perfect for Davis Mills.
Yeah. No, I think he's a top 40 quarterback in the NFL, not a top 30 quarterback in the NFL. Like, that's my stance on him. Last week you scoffed, rightfully so, at one of the best backups, one game, and it's true. Yeah, I mean, he impressed me. He did. Like, he impressed me with what he did on Sunday as a backup quarterback in the NFL. It did raise my opinion of him as a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. He won you a football game. Davis Mills is a top 10 quarterback, though. ESPN says it. Bleacher Report is saying it. NFL is saying it. Show me where Sue eats, big boy. No one's saying it.
I mean, maybe for like a week.
Although I know what you're doing. At the moment, it looks like Mills is making quicker decisions. No, it doesn't. Davis Mills made a quicker decision, and he telegraphed the pass to Christian Kirk. They got picked off. Mm-hmm. Like, and C.J. Stroud was playing his best six quarters of football before he got concussed. Like, he played in three series again in the Denver game and led two scoring drives and got injured in the third. He was the AFC player of the week prior. Like, C.J. Stroud, that's what stinks about the injury, is that Stroud was starting to play his best football. And was playing his best football the 2025 season. And I firmly believe they beat Denver if he stays healthy. So, like, I don't know, like, the quick revisionist history here. Stroud was playing six great quarters of football in a row, and then it's like, oh, yeah, he was making slow decisions. No, he wasn't. He was improving immensely in that category.
It feels like, to me, it's going to be a larger – it's that the people who are wanting to be pro Mills right now have these long-term concerns about C.J. Stroud, and they're letting this win cloud their judgment a little bit about the immediate future instead of and with their long-term concerns. Like, yeah. Do you want to pay C.J. Stroud $60 million? I don't know the answer to that question right now. Like, I wouldn't want to pay him $60 million this offseason, but it doesn't mean that I think Davis Mills should now be the quarterback because of one good quarter of football.
Yeah. What was Mills' S2 score? That's all that matters. Anybody who knows ball knows Mills is better than Stroud. Okay, we're just being trolled. I'm going to take any sort of Mills over Stroud commentary as they're trying to troll us, and I'm not falling for it.
I don't know.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Gary, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Gary?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call again. And another thing, the Baker Mayfield and the Sam Darnold comparison or whatever that people were trying to with the Davis Mills. It's not. I mean, Baker and Sam Darnold are retreads, but they throw into All-American wideouts. I don't think Mills in a particular game with the infrastructure and the receivers we have can carry you. And that where Stroud would come in because he's more athletic as well. Because they just don't have the weapons that Sam Darnold and Baker have. So I find it ironic those guys. Well, they don't stay healthy or none of that. They're not. I know they're the Nico Collins or whatever, but availability is the best ability on top of their skill set. And so if it comes to which receivers and infrastructure and wideouts and all that you'll take, I'll take those skill sets, the Minnesota guy and what's his name from Tampa Bay, over the Texas receivers all day and twice on Sunday. So, and I think that's what's helped Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. Now, Geno Smith, the other. Geno Smith is throwing to an all-world receiver right now that nobody thought was an all-world receiver. So he does have hands down a better, better than Mills as well, because nobody knew that this cat would be what he was going to be, that wide out. But do take into consideration all the quarterbacks that are having a lot of success, most of them, have weapons, and it dates back to the beginning of time with those weapons.
Appreciate it, Gary.
I do not think the Texans' weapons are that much different than Tampa Bay's currently.
It depends on if he's talking about top end or the cumulative group.
Yeah, I mean, cumulative group, like when they're all in the field, Tampa Bay's in a much better position than the Texans. But like Baker hasn't had that at all last year. So you could say last year, yes. But even then, like Chris Godwin's been out for most of the last 2 years.
Again, if it's the collective unit, let's not sleep on Bucky Irving last year.
For sure.
Was really dang good. Mike Evans did not get hurt last year. Godwin did. Kate Otten's okay. This year he's had Igbuka, hasn't had a whole lot of Godwin, hasn't had a whole lot of Evans. Bucky got hurt. Otten's been good. Seattle, if he's talking about Sam Darnold this year, I mean, it's kind of JSN and everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, the rest of their skill guys aren't great. Like, Walker's okay. Charbonnet's okay, I guess. Cooper Kupp's an aging veteran. They just traded for Shaheed. The rookie Horton's okay. But they're not that special out of JSN. Like, they're pretty similar to the Texans collectively.
I would agree.
And then do you a top end? Like, Nico, I mean, JSN's having an unbelievable year. JSN's having a way better year than Nico, but I think they are kind of on the same caliber of receiver. I just think that Darnold and Baker are better than Davis. I think they're a better quarterback than Davis.
Yeah, and
Davis
they always
is lower
were.
Tier.
Yeah, they always were. Like they just were in bad situations that it took them a while to get where they're going. Davis Mills would have to make major leaps of even what off of what you thought his potential was going to be. No one ever thought he was in the same category besides his former coach, David Shaw, who said he would have been a first rounder if he would have stayed at Stanford one more year. No one's ever thought of Davis Mills that way.
Yeah. Texter says Evans missed a few games last year. He did, but he still caught for over 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns. Like, still was a dude. Still was a dude. All right. 713-780-3776. We're not entertaining the Stroud Mills conversation. We're not falling for it. We're not doing it. So instead, let's do a little hot stove. Some Astro rumors that are out there. Do you believe any of these? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.